Hi everyone, you are with Amuli Kayika and welcome to our podcast, Soul Sessions, Episode 1, Season 1. So we are going to be talking about navigating spirituality in a diverse space like Rhodes University, and I'm a JMS 2 audio student. So how are we going to do this? How are we talking about navigating spirituality and diversity at Rhodes University? So for our JMS TAT group, we're required to do complex packages, and we decided to do one on religion and navigating religion at Rhodes University.
I'm Viwe Lebu. I'm Yoli's audio partner. In the streets, they call me Vivito, Vivio Maris, Vivio Babies. Joking.
Hi, you're here with Michael Mahlangu. I'm also a second year student.
Hi, I'm Slamgele Smith, and I am so excited to be here with you guys today.
So, guys, I know we want to dive into this and get straight into it. But before we start, could you just tell me how you're feeling about our first episode of Soul Sessions?
How I'm feeling, I'm not going to lie, when it came to going out there in the field, having to interview people, it was exciting. But you know what the most exciting part is for me? It's, you know, discussing this in real time. We want to keep people on their toes because we're talking about, you know, I don't want to give it out and say controversial things, but like, you know, I'm excited for this topic. I'm excited.
Yeah, same, man. Like, it's been long since I stepped foot in church, man. And I haven't been in church for the longest time. It's been, man. Like, I had to, like, going there, like, talk to the pastor. I've never spoken to a pastor in my life.
How are you feeling? How are you feeling, Onasim? How are you feeling?
I'm a little bit nervous, but I know that I can do this.
So, before you mentioned that we were navigating spirituality here at Rhodes University. And the first feature that we did was the one we made you went to Ukiah. Before we get into it, could you just tell us like how is let me first tell you how I felt about it, and then you can tell me how you felt about
no
it.
No problem.
So when you spoke about it in the tutorial group, I was really nervous because conversations of spirituality can be touchy, and I won't lie to you, I was a bit scared to touch certain I don't want to call it soft, but like people's buttons or push people's buttons about, you know, the spirituality or whatever. But I think at the end of it, after interviewing Kia, it just made me more excited for all the other interviews that we were about to do, you know, and just for the whole project in general, even though it's been tough.
It's been tough, my guy.
Yeah.
How I felt about interviewing with Kia, I felt nothing. Not in a bad way, but like in terms of like, I'm just going to go interview her.
Yeah.
But in the middle of the interview, I learned so much and I was touched a lot by it. And then just like you said, I was just excited after because we had many more interviews that are like nice and very insightful.
And so as you know, Mosne, Ukiah is a sangoma, and so with her topic it was more about focusing on African spirituality. Have your views of African spirituality changed or been affected after that interview with Ukiah?
Okay, firstly, let me just outline this. With what I picked up from Ukiah was university students that are sangomas having a problem fitting in and having a problem embracing their beads and their attire.
Yeah.
So when I realized that, when she was like telling us her story, my perspective changed on how I also saw them, because I got to hear how much they go through and how much it takes for them to even embrace their own physical attire, you know. So for me, it was like, because I went in there, it was not that deep, like I said. I was like, okay. But after I left that room, I was thinking about a lot. I was literally thinking about a lot.
So for our first complex package, we had the one of Ukiah, which was navigating African spirituality. Let's dive straight into it, guys. Hey, guys. The package, it rocked me. After all the nerves and everything, Kia just lit up a spark, if I may say. And it's crazy I say this now, because her personality is also like that, very bubbly, loud, energetic. It was so ironic, like our first... you were there, Amuli, to see this, because Ben Yakon asked when I'm Michael Lundus, because you're doing your own packages, but like, it was so crazy, man, because that our first interview was with someone who has so much energy after me being so nervous, and sort of like, I don't know, infecting me with that same energeticness and making me very excited for the rest of our packages.
When I came back in 2024, I had my beads on, right? But I took them off because I was scared of people looking at me.
Her spirituality didn't just set her apart. It forced her to come face to face with the spiritual unease of others.
At some point, I was so scared to wear short things. But as I continue with life, I even forget that I have beads. I wear short things with pride because I don't believe having to wear short things or long things actually define you as a person, also ubuntu mabako. No, that thing is in me. And if you can't see that it's in me and through how I dress, then I'm sorry, I can't be a person.
Her spirituality didn't just set her apart. It forced her to come face to face with the spiritual unease of others.
So coming back to Rhodes, I was not comfortable, because it's a thing of how are people going to perceive me? How are my friends going to perceive me? We are not the same. Other people are more rooted like in Christianity like that. They see ubungoma as a matrimony. How am I going to interact with those people?
With who sangomas go through so much when I'm really, besides obviously church things, but we're not going to get into that now.
But obviously, man,
like Ukiya showed me a different side of her because she's my friend, but also of ubusangoma from a traditional way you think about it at home and how what the stories you hear, but abantu bangamasangoma. Yeah, man. What do you think, Don Michael? Don Michael.
Don Michael.
In terms of amasangoma, I feel like they're kind of diverse in a way that allows them to be themselves. You get me? So people must just allow them to be themselves and allow them to just showcase what they have, man. Yeah. That's what I think.
Yeah.
So when you're saying that they're very diverse, and did you say that they have to be what they are, or something in those lines, if I heard you correctly, because I want to ask you a question.
Yeah, you can go ahead.
But then do you think that it's going to be easy for them to just become who they are and embrace it, when, for example, Okiya was going through so much, I don't want to say insecurities, but it was insecurities in a way, because people are kind of shaming her and making her feel uncomfortable because of her beads.
Yeah.
So do you think that in such a diverse space, especially Rhodes, because people come from different parts of the world, not even the country, the world. So do you think that it is a safe space for people like Okiya to embrace their beads without, you know, feeling ashamed or without feeling like they're being looked at because, why, you know how Rhodes University students, not Rhodes University students, guys, don't sue me, but students in general, when they don't understand something that they see, they'll question it and they're like, they'll like stare at it, like you get,
I feel like when like you're in that position, you just don't have to care about like the next person or what the next person think or whatever. Just be yourself and like just, be yourself, man.
And to also add, I think most people assume that when you are wearing beads, your whole life and your character, they are so wrong. When you are wearing your beads, your whole life must be determined by them. They are so wrong on that part. With Kia's story, I like the fact that she became confident about wearing her beads with short things.
Yeah. It's crazy you mentioned that, ne? Because me personally, ne, like is something that is you know, outstanding to me, because if I could put myself in Kia's shoes in that moment, ne, I think I'd be very scared to still, you know,
embrace it, wear short things.
Yeah, and block out people's thoughts, because, guys, we all know things can land up on RE Confessions.
Yo!
They say that guy or that girl.
That girl that was wearing...
What sort of sangom are you that wears shorts?
But beats are cute, man.
Yeah, and but I hear you guys, ne? coming back to this idea of diversity here at Rhodes University, hey, was an historic Galilean. And that just shook me even more because we have the story then in this package of Ulilien, ne? Who comes from a spiritual background and comes from a spiritual home, but it's Christian spirituality, ne? And she finds herself in this space at Rhodes where now, even with Christian spirituality from Yagokwabo, there's also things like African spirituality where she bumps into people like Ukiya, ne?
Yeah.
And when she found herself in the space, I'm not driving to the package, don't worry guys, don't worry, you'll hear the package, ne? But when she found herself in the space, ne? She then got interested in African spirituality and, you know, Christian spirituality. But yeah, you'll hear it for yourself. Let's dive into the package.
I grew up in a very Christian-orientated family. And I grew up to realize that every once in a while, like I used to have ancestral episodes, you see, unexplained. And it somehow led to me wanting to know more about my African side of the family or of my life and spirituality. But I'm Christian. I'm Christian, me spiritually, I wouldn't say I'm a person who like enforces my spirituality into other people's lives. However, coming to Rhodes made me to realize that we all understand our religion in different ways. And the way I understand Christianity may not be the way you understand Christianity. With my point of view or my own belief, I believe that the Lord says, come to me as you are, you understand? So if you claim to be this person and yet you don't follow that one rule, you see, it's a clash of religions, yet we are believing in the same thing. So it was eye-opening that we really can be flexing our own. Oh, I remember first term last year, we had a Bible session. Right, so someone said, we praise the living God who is the Lord, the Holy Spirit, and the Son, right? And Asdeshi. Okay, to me, that was a challenge because you don't dash, man. It wasn't meant, it's not supposed to be dashed. Like, you're not supposed to mix it. Because Unkulunkulu, right? And then you have Idlozi Lakho under that blanket. So, yeah. That was the challenge.
So from the package, ne, what I heard or what I got out of it is this concept of spirituality versus African spirituality. Yes,
yeah.
African spirituality. Yes, you took the words out of my mouth. Yes.
Yeah.
African spirituality versus Christian spirituality. Ne, where Ulilian found herself in the space of Rhodes where people who are Christian, after expressing her feelings of, you know, looking into African spirituality, sort of shunned upon her for trying to mix the two, you know, saying it's bad, you know, just the normal things we hear.
The stereotypes.
The usual stereotypes you hear at home about like African spirituality, not being able to come with God, that's bad, What do you guys think about that?
You know, firstly, there's another interesting package that maybe we'd contrast it with Ulili just to like shake things up.
Yeah.
So Utumi is a Christian, fully Christian. She comes from a Christian background.
Yeah.
And she even mentioned that that's all she ever knew.
Yeah.
And then now, when she comes to Rhodes University, she's like exposed to a lot. And she's exposed to people that are trying... Okay, let me just quote this, guys. Imagine that I put quotes in it. That want to mix the two.
Yeah.
So, before you ask your question, I wanted to ask a quick question, guys.
Yeah.
So, do you think that people like Otumi, that are fully Christian, came from Christian homes, do you think that they imposed this, they imposed these stereotypes against people like Olili, who found themselves on an African spirituality journey, but they're still Christian? Do you think that Ngabo Abantu, that, you know, impose as a stereotypes to people, you know, like them?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yes, I think some of Abantu, they do impose this. For example... Many of the people, they see people with people who believe in amandlozi or on all that stuff as people who practices evil stuff or demonic things.
Could I don't know what you think, Don Michael, what you can say, because I see you there shaking your head wanting to speak. could I go against that and say they actually don't, or some of them don't, ne? Because if Sibafaka Bongo Umbrella one saying that they impose these things, ne, are we not sort of being wrong? Because
But then if we're saying that we're gonna pick out that you and you and you and you who did this, it's kind of wrong. It's like we're putting them in the same umbrella because they believe in Christianity and all of them identify as Christians.
Yeah.
So Bona as a collective, they have this tendency. And guys, I'm not saying that all of you guys, because I know people are gonna be like, oh, not me.
Yeah.
But then as a collective, they normalize land of Bona, they want to impose this stereotypes against about who are like Lily, particularly in this case, people that are like Ulili that want to mix the two. But then, you know, they're just people that grew up in Christian homes, and then they had, just like she said in her package, she had an episode. So now, like, though, because Abanya Bantu, and I'm gonna say a very controversial thing, Abanya Bantu are Christians, they just want Christianity to be everyone's way.
Wow. Yeah. Could we then say this is because of could we then say this is because of coming from black home grounds, if I may say, because if you think about it, this whole idea of notion of African spirituality being sort of, I don't want to call it demonic, but you know, as Christians, we're like sort of being bad or not being able to mix with Christianity. Could you say it's because of our backgrounds of black households? I don't know, guys.
I think so. Because a lot of parents, obviously, they want us to follow that Christian path, mostly because, like, of the rules or maybe the laws in that Christian circle or Christian background thing. Yeah, because, like, in terms of even behavior or, like, in terms of values, people that are Christians have kind of certain values.
Yeah.
Yeah, but, like, in terms of how they act and how they react to certain stuff. Yeah.
I don't know if this will help, but I think to sort of go back to my point and sort of back up the point where I was saying, I don't think, me personally, and as like I said, you guys are big to differ with me, but like, I don't think everyone imposes these things. We have the complex pictures of Ulusanel, which Michael and Simamgele did. Let's listen to the complex package, and then you'll see why I say people don't, or some people don't impose these things. Before we listen to Ulusanel's story and how it could connect to this, Amyeli, could you tell us a bit of background on what the experience was like interviewing Ulusanel, and what you were basically interviewing about?
So when I was interviewing Ulusanel, I also came there with the notion that, oh, Christians, they really like to judge, you know, other spirituality or other religions. But when I got to have a conversation with her, there's a really interesting experience that she had that really opened my mind. And I was like, oh, you know, not all Christians are like that, given the fact that she is born and raised in a very Christian home, all that she was ever.
Christian child, you know, growing up with a Christian background, you grew up in the sense of, I am a Christian, I do what Christians do. But then when I got to high school, I got exposed to many different people, got exposed to alcohol, all of those things.
Yes.
So now I'd say I was not Christian enough at that point in life. That's where I got to even understand some other cultures. In grade 9, I got to meet this other girl who considered me her big sis in a way. So she was Shiana. She believed in ancestors. She used to call herself Ugogo. She was undergoing the process of being Ugogo. So at a point in time at school, they considered us family. So I got to experience how to deal with those things. And then I got to varsity. Now I have both the background of how to deal with a person like that, but I still consider myself a Christian with that. So as much as high school did expose me, it didn't expose me that much because I was still young-minded, I would say. I got to varsity, it was a complete different change of scenery, being away from family, where I knew Guti every Sunday, from Friday to Saturday, because that's how at home the you church work. At home work. Yes. We go to church on Friday late, Saturday late, and Sunday during. No, so now I was transitioning from a background like that to varsity, whereby in varsity I choose to not go to church. When I got here, at first I had that mindset, but I want to go to church. I was looking for a church, but I never really found a church that satisfies me in a way that the church I'm used to. I was looking for a church I'm used to, not a church that I'll be able to be there, feel comfortable. And then I got to a friend group. At that point in time, we were five. And you notice that we're from different spiritual backgrounds. We believe in different things. So with that, two of my friends were Christians. And then two of my other friends at that time were Catholics. And then the other one was a Catholic and also believed in had an ancestral background, you know. So now in that space, in me, I'd like to say in me, the Christianity in me kind of shifted. I kind of felt disconnected from my Christianity, like my belief. I'd like to say, I don't know if you get me.
Yeah, I get you.
Like I kind of felt disconnected from God. Like I wasn't in a space where I'd go around saying I'm a Christian.
Mm-hmm.
With the friendship I was in, I did many bad things. And if I would go to someone and say, I'd say I was a typical PK, because if you know stereotypes about PKs, yes, they do the worst things ever. So it was a thing like that, but I did the worst things ever. And I wouldn't even deny it. I know I did the worst things ever. But I wouldn't blame myself, because even now I'm still in a place where I'm not fully in. I'm still learning the journey, because I'm still in a place where I want to understand the depth of it. Because if anyone else would ask me about some of the things of Christianity, I wouldn't know, because I'm not deep into it. I am a Christian, fully Christian, but there are just some things that I don't understand. I'm not a mature Christian, you know. So now with transitioning, it was very hard for me. Because now I had to deal with other people, because I didn't even know what. That's the reason why I couldn't connect with Christianity, because I'm dealing with people who are not in the same religion as me. You see, Catholics, ancestral thingies. And from my home, they never believed in ancestors. So I grew up in a family that never believed in ancestors, you know. So now I'm encountering a process whereby I am dealing with people who believe in those things. Mm. And I can't criticize. I believe you can't criticize someone's belief, even if you don't believe in that. It's just something you can't do. So now I had to be in this space, because at the end of the day, this person is my friend. So my first encounter was when she had, a spiritual attack, ancestral spiritual attack.
Yes, I see.
And obviously people at risk will call her friend. So at that point in time, I had to put my Christianity aside. I had to put the things I was taught at home, but we don't deal with ancestors. We don't deal with this. I had to put it back outside and deal with this, because at the end of the day, it's my friend. I got there, and obviously I learned how people are able to cool the person down and all of that. But they came out part whereby they were using incense, you see,
yes, in their pot.
Mm. Yeah, so I couldn't be in that process. Because as much as I'm trying to help, I feel like it's a tradition that I couldn't take part of. Because I felt like I was disrespecting my spiritually at some point. Because as much as I want to understand, but I also have to
respect your belief also.
Exactly. So it was a very hard transition for me, because it was a point where I didn't know where I stand now. Because I felt like I was too engaged in other people's religions that I forgot about mine.
Crazy. What a story by Lusanele. I sort of get this idea of a girl who's like sort of torn between two worlds. Like, I don't know if I may put it like in a way where she's sort of stuck between choosing or respecting her own spiritual values and helping her friends through this experience, which then she learned to, like, you know, sort of act or set boundaries with the people that she's with. What do you think of this, Amuelis?
What I think of this, I feel like it's great
for a person to be able to be open to other ideologies, religions, spiritual beliefs. But then it's really important for a person to also choose themselves, man. You're not going to be always there understanding. If it comes to a point of whereby you have to now isolate yourself and be like, hey, I can't mix myself with A, B, C, and D because, then you can't. I'd also do the same thing.
And then we have Pastor. Pastor Michael. which, I don't know, is sort of like the landing of this whole topic because it's very, I don't know, hey, it's tough, Louis.
Yeah, man, it's quite sensitive.
Yeah.
We went there.
Yeah.
We met the pastor.
Pastor Michael, ne?
He told us.
Yeah. No, I was just asking if it's to Pastor. Is it the Pastor Michael you're talking about now, ne?
Yeah, sure. Yeah, it's the pastor.
Yeah.
We went there, met the pastor, and he gave us his views.
Yeah.
We also met the people in the church.
What is this experience like, Samamgel?
It was a great experience because while we were interviewing the pastor, we learned some new things about how the church is a safe and a supportive environment to students, and it also how they deal with their challenges by creating a long-term relationship with students and making sure that they belong to the church and they feel safe whenever they are at the church.
Yeah.
And it also shows that they are a diversity church where everyone with different cultural backgrounds are respected and also they feel belonging to their church.
Yeah. I don't know if I may put it in this way, but you know what? Before I share my thoughts, I think let's listen to Pastor Michael's story and how it connects to this whole thing. Interesting thing from the story that I heard is that Pastor Michael talking about connect groups. So Pastor Michael paints this picture where all of them can come together in one space, in a safe space. He puts it like in these connect groups and everything. What do you guys think about this? Do you think all of these different people can come together, all these different spiritualities can come together in one space?
Hi guys, first of all, it's a connect group by what? A pastor.
Yeah.
In what? A church.
Yeah.
Do you think that, for example, Olilian that face like very societal stereotypes, she can be able to coexist with people? I'm not generalizing this, guys. I'm not saying all Christians. But then, do you think that those people that have been facing stereotypes for decades, for years, can be comfortable in a connect group? I don't want to say it's a Christian group, but it was formed by a pastor. I wouldn't be comfortable. Would you be comfortable, Michael?
But it depends, though, with the type of people at the church, you see?
So yeah.
And also the pastor. If he's welcoming and all that, I think it's not a bad idea.
But what if Gengogu, anyway, he is welcoming, but what if the pastor wants to be a pastor and he doesn't want to, because it's a church, first of all, and these connect groups, many of the people there are going to be Christians, you get?
Yeah.
So it's very natural and expected for people like, for people that believe in other spiritual religions or whatever, to not feel that comfortable. Because kweza connect groups, do you think that and look at each other, what are they going to speak about?
But then what do you think about the part that Pastor Michael says that he saw a massive transformation in the people that go to the connect groups?
But who are those people?
They're part of the congregation.
Exactly. What about the accommodation of others that do not believe in Christianity?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, I get you.
So then, it's crazy. Like, you're making me think then. Amuli, you're making me, you know, bring up a question of myself. Is it like conducive for a pastor to give such platforms to people like Lusanel? And like, would people like Lilian Kia be welcomed in such spaces? It brings up that question. Would they be welcomed? Since you said it's a church, you know, it brings up the question of, since it's a church, does it really then
cater
for the people who are that are not, you know? It's a very good question. What do you think, Wanisman again?
Yeah. I don't think they, okay, let me say, but they will be welcome, ne? But bona abantu, they will feel like they are not welcome in the church because of they do not believe. Okay, I think they do not believe in Christian, but because of they have other beliefs. Mm. So ukuba ukuya kwabo ecaweni, they be like bazoba noloyiko mhlamba abantu baba judge or
the stereotypes. Real.
I then have a question, for you guys. I don't know. You can answer it if you want to. Just something to think about, do you think spirituality is even as an aspect in other people's lives?
Yo.
Since it's tetang a space where there's different spiritualities, do you think for some people spirituality is even part of their life?
Nah, I feel like some people just believe in the universe. They just believe things just happen, like fate or something.
Why are you saying it like that?
Things just happen. There's no one who's like controlling. Like someone's fate or something. Yeah. Things just happen in a way of like just freestyle life.
Yeah.
Freestyle lifestyle.
Have you okay, when you put it like if I'm being clear, then we're basically going to the uncharted lands now of atheism. We have people not believing, have you ever come across atheists? Like that's something interesting. Have you come across atheists ever in your life?
Nah, not me.
Yeah? Sima?
No.
No.
I have. It was a potential one.
Yeah. Oh, really?
I could see that, this one. They might believe in just freestyling.
Not freestyling. Crazy enough, I came across one this year when we had to interview Uziga, who's an atheist. And I learned your guys, I learned a lot of things. Did you guys know that there's different types of atheists?
Personally, I don't know. But what types are those?
I lowkey forgot. But
okay,
if I may try, guys, don't attack me. I think Ziga said something like, I think, but this was just like a conversation off before an interview where she mentioned like there's atheists who don't believe at all, and then like in nothing at all, And then there's atheists who believe there is a God somewhere, but just not all of these gods we know, we think of. You understand? But let me not tell too much of Ziga's story. Let's listen to her story when we interviewed her.
With most people I've met, mostly Christians, they question it to the point where, have you tried it? Have you tried questioning if God is real at this point, of your life? Not like when you were younger, would you like change your perspective, yada yada. It's like, no, one day you'll get into it, like it's fine, it's just a phase. And it's like, no, that's low-key disrespectful because I don't do that to you.
Ziga may not believe in the idea of spiritual power, but she recognizes how important it is to others. And I think that that's something she's learned at Rhodes University.
I just leave the conversation. I just leave it. There's no point in arguing because they're standing firm on their belief and like and they thinking they're saving you type thing.
Yeah. Well, what do you guys think about that? Well, should I go first since I interviewed her?
Yeah, go first.
I thought, firstly, I was mind blown. What do you mean, Like you just wake up and you just live. Like in, I think there's something Ziga touched on in our interview where she was like, she chooses not to believe, and she feels a sense of, I don't know, is it happiness in just living her life, and not believing in anything, and I don't know what to say.
I feel like it's more of the freeness that comes with it. She's more tapped in with just being free and not like following rules and customs.
Really, so when are you trying to say that religion has rules?
Yeah, obvious. You already have the Bible that tells you what to do and what not to do. You already have the commandments. Do not steal. Obviously, we already know stealing is wrong.
Like what you did not too long ago. I saw you eat a donut.
They gave the donuts.
You know what I love about Ziga? Ziga's story.
Yeah.
Was that I think she said we people that believe in religion and spirituality are people that seek comfort. She doesn't seek comfort. And I don't know, maybe I'm wrong, but I remember her saying that when she's stressed, she just sleeps.
She just sleeps.
Over. I'm like,
do you think it's a matter of experience? Like, some people say if you haven't went like through hardships or like tense experiences in life, you wouldn't be tapped in with Christianity like that or God like that, because you haven't experienced stuff that makes you closer to God.
But then what if you did experience stuff, but they did not make you be closer to God?
Yeah.
You lost a parent. Like, your life is... your whole life. And then when you get older, you're like, there's no superpower at all. There's no
Or let's say, maybe you're a Christian. Yeah. I'm a Christian personally. But when I lost my grandmother, I was like asking myself questions like, why?
Yeah.
What happened? Why me?
Yeah.
Why out of everyone else you choosing to take my grandmother out of the other bad grandmothers that I see around?
What do you mean so, bad grandmother?
Yeah.
So yeah, I think it's just a matter of I'm not sure, but like I think things just happen.
Yeah. Sima, you're awfully quiet. What do you think? What do you think is wrong?
I just think Uzika has she's a nonchalant person. Okay, my only coping mechanism that I will find, it's me. I will deal with my own things in my own way.
Sleep.
Not by praying or asking God to intervene in my stuff. I will just deal with them myself.
Okay, what do you think about praying and your prayers don't get answered? Do you question yourself? Do you question God or what? As a Christian?
Yes.
As a Christian? Oh my goodness, I think I'm half a Christian. You see what the bottle is half empty.
Yeah.
I'm half Dumi, I'm half Zika because of life.
Please explain. Please,
I
that's
don't
interesting.
Know. But like, it just happens.
Half Christian, half atheist, basically.
Right, it's like you believe there's a higher power, but then you don't believe in the, you know what,
Michael. Or the higher power doesn't work for you, or doesn't.
It does work. There is God, guys, but I personally do not.
Okay.
It's not Jesus.
Do you believe in Jesus?
No, I don't.
Guys, sure. Interesting things.
It was very interesting.
I think, if I could sort of like wrap it up, in a way, because guys, like
and we also can't be out here judging people. If you're like that, then
you like that.
I think I'll ask you guys what you think too, ne? After hearing all of these stories that we did and everything, I think that it's up to us also to create a space where, especially like in a diverse space like Rhodes University, where we create a space where everyone feels welcomed, whether I'm Christian or whatever, to create a space that's welcoming for everyone and that's just, I don't know, human, like seeing people for their humanity instead of seeing them for stuff like
culture, religion, and stuff,
you know? Yeah. Yeah, but I don't know what you guys think about that.
The pastor also told us that the church is welcoming that way. Like anytime,
it tries to do that
somehow.
Yeah,
you can come through.
Don't you think that's converting though? Trying to convert people. That welcomingness is like come in,
guys, gonna so that
y'all. This is where you belong.
Yeah. But yeah, what have you guys learned from all of this?
I've learned that. As people, especially when it comes to Rhodes, man, you just see how diverse this place is. And what I love from these stories is that people had the capability of understanding and seeing that it is really, really worth it to be able to coexist with other religions, value them, but at the same time, value your religion and your spirituality.
Yeah, that's what I also think. Like, we can't go around judging people for what they believe in. If that's what you believe in, then that's good. Yeah. That's calm.
Yeah. Sima, any last words?
Just be yourself.
So quick and simple. And I think that's it from us, guys. From what's our podcast name again? Soul Sessions. That's it from us.
This was a soul session.
This was really a soul session.
Straight
from the soul, brother.
Soul conversations.
It's been nice.
Shout out.
And once again, I've been Iviwe Glepu, Vivi Omaris, Vivito, Vivi Babies.
That's Michael Matang, Don Michael. Yeah, I'm former here. I can't be here. I'm soulful now.
Ah, it's
yeah,
soul.
You're soulful.
Yeah.
And you've been with the Glamorous. The,
Eish.
The guys, I don't wanna say the what, yeah. but you will know that it
yeah.
is the Amelika Ika.
Per.
And that's
Listen,
it. Per. Thank you very much, guys. Before anything else, guys, and before we say everything, could we please just jump right into Tumi's story and give it a listen?